everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Mr. Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Packers' 37-30 loss to Philadelphia. Eric, I'm actually sitting in O'Hare Airport right now, but I found a quiet cubbyhole. I hope you're happily sitting at home right now.
Yes, I'm very comfortable in my boxers. I'm sitting back in my office here, relaxing. You use that term, Mr., rather loosely.
Yes. I'm mocking you when I say that.
I'm well aware of that.
So let's have a little fun today. And we're going to spar a little bit here.
Good.
We're going to start with something we didn't write about, but we discussed at length this morning when we talked. And it's about Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. I'm of the opinion that they need to sit Rodgers and play Love. You're of the opinion they need to play Rodgers if he can go. So let's hear why you think that. Let's try to keep it relatively succinct. I mean, you know, flesh out your argument, but let's keep it relatively succinct to see if we can go back and forth a little bit here. And I'm just let everybody know why you think that if Rodgers can play, that they should have him out there.
Well, first of all, I mean, you're paying a guy a pretty high price to sit the bench. I don't think that's really wise. Secondly, he's got some young guys in there, and that offense is starting to click. I think you want to get him some experience with those receivers and buying into the run game and allowing that thing to transform and have it be a leapfrog into next year. Those guys, I mean, maybe if you get one game with Jordan Love at the last game of the year or this next coming game against the Bears where he's beat up and he can't play, I have no issue with that. But I think long term, you know, he's got to be on the field. And the third thing is what kind of message are you sending to your football team if you're going to play Jordan Love when you got Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench? And I think that that sends a bad message. And it's what you want to do. You still have a football team. I know we all want to see Jordan Love play and all that good stuff. That's fine. And I understand that point of view. Still got to win football games. That's why they're there. That's what they're in the business of doing. Go out and win ball games.
Yeah, and that pretty much sums it up. And the one thing that you have, a point you made today that I also, you know, I mean, these all have legit, obviously, legit points you're making. And one was that, you know, guys find it inspirational when their quarterback goes out there and he's hurt and he plays. And that does, that sets, quarterbacks set the tone for teams. And so that's why I remember talking to Wolf about, Ron Wolf, about what he looks for in quarterbacks. And he had toughness. Like it was, if it wasn't first, it was second on his list of traits that he's looking for. So I totally get all that. The thing where I disagree with you is the most important thing a franchise does is get a quarterback, picks its quarterback. That everything is built around the quarterback. And this is a decision you have to get right. They have to make a decision on this guy, whether to exercise the fifth year option in May. And I'm of the opinion they need as much information on Jordan Love as they can before they make that call. And Rodgers is banged up enough. They're not making the playoffs. They're not winning the last five games. Even if Rodgers were at full health, that defense, there's no way. So Rodgers is beaten up enough. Just let him sit and get healed. He even said, basically, if you, you know, read between the lines what he said, he's open to the discussion once they're mathematically eliminated. Just put out Love out there, play him five games. So you got 5 1/4 games this year to go on, and you make the call. I just looked it up before we went on. In 08, which was Rodgers' first year as a starter, they extended his contract I think he signed it November 8th. And so that means they had played 8 games that season when they extended him. I don't know how long the negotiations took. I think it wasn't probably more than a week or two. So they were going off probably 6 or 7 games when they decided to extend his contract. This would give them, so they knew he was good enough to at least give him a shot for a couple of years to be their guy. So So I think five games is enough. But I mean, I get all your points, but I just think this decision is too important that they got to get the guy out there. If they were in the playoff race, different story. But I don't know. Are they even with a banged up Rodgers? Do they have a better chance of winning with Love at quarterback than with Rodgers?
I don't know. That's the whole question. And I just feel like if I'm a teammate and you guys front office and the coaching staff says, hey, we're throwing our hands up in the air. We're throwing a towel in on this season. Why should Devondre Campbell come back? They should come out. But, hey, I'm hurt.
Why shouldn't they sit? You mean?
Yeah.
Come back with his injury. I got you. Yeah.
I got a sprained ankle. I'm done. Put me on IR. You know, I just think it sends a bad message. And I think the reality is Rodgers is back next year. I don't think there could possibly be some whiz bang trade or something that comes out of the ground, but I don't see any way that he's not playing with the Packers next year. And I think you got to give him time and let him run the way this offense is. And in the loss of Adams, I will be the first to tell you that I was way wrong. I did not think it was going to be that big of a deal. I looked back at the previous seasons when Adams wasn't playing, that they were 7-0 without him. He spread the ball around. But what I did not understand or what I had not taken to that equation was what Adams did to the rest of the offense by drawing coverage and giving other guys opportunities to be open. And what he did to affect the running game, I didn't take that into consideration. And but now looking at where they're at this point in the season and where they are with the receivers, and they're starting to get some play with the emergence of Christian Watson. You got Dubs that's out there doing his thing when he's healthy, and Torre, and the way they're running the football. I just think that you can keep him upright and make it happen and get out there and at least win a couple games. There's some winnable games here for them. And I think they need to go out and put their best foot forward and do it and give him an opportunity to play with those young kids, because he's not going to be there in OTAs. So the next opportunity he's going to get to play with these young kids is going to be in August. That's too long. They need to get out there and let him play. And if you sit him a game because he's got some sore ribs, I'm okay with that. I don't think this is it for Aaron Rodgers. This isn't the way he's going to go out. He's a competitor. He's a man. He's got pride, and he's going to go out and play. And you know what? For him, he's going to want to come back next year. He's not going to want to go out like this on a bad record, beat up, and not doing well. He's going to have a lot of drive to come back. Look at last time we wrote him off. He went back-to-back MVPs. Can he do that in 2023? I don't know, but I'm not saying he can't. That's for sure.
Yeah. Actually, you know, like if I just had to make a guess right now of how this turns out, my guess is they talk. He says, I'll come back one more year. He plays next season. They give Love they exercise the fifth-year option in May. Rodgers is their quarterback in 23. Love is in 24. That's a guess. What happens over the next 5 weeks could change that. But I want to defend your original take on that they'd be okay without Adams. I think you were mostly right. And Watson's injuries, all those injuries, were devastating to these guys. He missed all of camp. He comes back in the first game and gets hurt. He comes back after that, gets hurt again, then has a concussion. I mean, we're seeing now, this is actually the second item in our column for tomorrow, but we're seeing now what impact you're talking about, this guy can have on the offense. He's starting to change. He's making plays, and he's changing the way teams are defending the Packers, right? I mean, go over that the touchdown to Cobb as an example.
Well, yeah, because he runs that drag in the end zone, and the previous 2 weeks he caught touchdown passes on that. So they see that route coming, and the safety on top drives down onto him, and they play trail with the cornerback, so they got him doubled up essentially, and there's no one in the middle of the field, so it's an easy pitch and catch for Rodgers and Cobb, and those are the things that, like, Adams did that last year for them.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it took longer for that to happen, and you know, and I also believe that Adams and Rodgers had some, you know, they had a lot of time together, and they could, hey, they're in the huddle or they look at each other, say, we got this route, let's go get it. And we pick up a first down when, you saw the RPOs and all that kind of stuff. There was some of that last year and not as much as this year. I think the offense can be very, very sound, but it's going to take time. And I believe that they needed to, I still think they need to get together and go out there and play. Put on the armor and get after it.
When we talked, I remember when we were talking last spring after they traded Adams, and you talked about, and we went back and like, they're going to struggle for the first half of the season on offense, but their defense is going to be good, and that'll carry them through it, and they'll have a pretty good record after 8 or 9 games because their defense is good. And then the second half of the season, their offense will be tough. And then it turns out their defense is just a total complete disaster. Yeah. So, yeah, there are lots of things to talk about. Let's quick go over that a little bit. That's the lead item of our column. It was just what a disaster. Jalen Hurts, they couldn't handle this guy running at all. What was the problem?
Well, this was the first game where you could put your thumb on it and say, they really missed Campbell. They really missed him being out there, being in the middle and playing that spy role. Quay Walker just wasn't up to it. I mean, on the first opportunity that he got on a rush by it was a flood. He got Jalen Hurts got flushed out of the pocket. You saw, Walker just flat out miss him. And then they ran the draw on third down. And I mean, they knew right then and there after that first play, this is what we're going to do. We're going to attack a Walker. And they were able to do it. And the center, Kelsey, came up there and just completely made Walker disappear, and it goes off for a big play. Then there's the other big one in that same series in the first possession that went for, I think it was 42 yards or whatever. I mean, it was a big gain. And same kind of thing. Walker's nowhere to be seen. He just didn't do it. And those are the things that I think Campbell would have held that together. And they probably certainly would have gotten some yards, but I don't think the big chunks that they got would have happened. And I think Campbell would have been able to cover some of that stuff up.
So we were batting around, and we kind of started touching on this last week, but, batting around whether Walker is playing out of position and if inside linebacker is not the best place to take advantage of his athleticism. Do you think, and the position that we've talked about moving him to would be outside linebacker, where he could be a rush zone drop guy in the flats. Do you think they would actually, the Packers, you played college football with Brian. I'm not sure how well you actually knew him and how much you guys talked football, but Brian Gutekunst, that is. But do you think they would actually move Walker and change his position, or you think that they're locked into making him an inside guy and they're just going to say, we got to coach him up, make him get him stronger, get him to play more physically and all that?
Well, there's definitely a dearth of talent at that position. So I think long-term they were thinking this was going to be the Devondre Campbell replacement, and it's just not working right now. He's long. He's got a lot of speed. He's got some initial quickness. Certainly is very raw rushing the quarterback. You see that when they blitz him from the inside linebacker spot. But I think there's some opportunity there because of his ability to his speed and his athletic ability. The point I think is really important is that if he's on the outside linebacker position, he's going to chase down. He's going to get some stuff coming his way, no doubt about it. But he proved it to me against the Titans that he was able to stay square and take on some in the NFL now more than I can remember in decades. They got offensive linemen pulling all over the place. I think he can stay home and take care of that stuff. But what I really like about it is not even just getting after the quarterback. It's going and running down plays. That's where he excels. You see him running down plays sideline to sideline, but nothing in front of him. So let him run it. Let him go. Let him be an athlete. Next year, God willing, if Gary is able to come back and play at the same level, you got two guys that can run around and run plays down. Those are pretty big weapons to be able to have.
You think he could chase down runs to the outside, the opposite way of him? You think he could catch those guys from behind?
Gary does, and he's faster than Gary. And he does it. You know, we look at some of the plays that he makes, even against Hurts last night. He had the one that went out on the 3-yard line there, where he chased him down to the sideline. Absolutely, I think he's fast enough to do that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, what intrigues me about him is just dripping with athletic ability. He's, you know, like I said, he's got long arms. He's got length. I really like length on the outside there. And if he can figure out a pass rush move or two. And it took Gary 3 years before he got really good. I mean, his first year, the only thing the poor guy could do was bull rush. And now he's pretty good. He's got a good rip. He's got a he turns that rip into a little bit of a spin. And then he also does an arm over. He's got some good ways. It doesn't just, you know, good pass rushers don't just come up out of the ground. I mean, you have to work on it, and it's an art, and it's a skill, and you got to be able to. If I'm going to rip constantly to the outside, well, offensive tackles aren't dumb. They're probably one of the smartest guys on the team. They're going to figure that out. So you got to come up with a counter move. And in Gary's second year, he didn't have a counter move really. He had a bull rush and he'd rip and maybe he'd come underneath a little bit, but there wasn't anything there. But now you got to be on your toes when you're playing him, because he'll come underneath, he'll rip outside, he'll arm over you, and he even has a little bit of a spin. So, you know, if he buries that rip too far inside, you got to feel, if you're an offensive tackle, you got to be thinking spin. And then all of a sudden, he decides he's going to come arm over the top on that one. Now it's an inside rush. That's tough. So it just takes time for, you know, good, again, the Bosas of the world, they're good at the rookies, but it takes them 2-3 years before they are really good, solid pass rushers. And I think that I just think his talent lines up more for that position than in the NFL. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe next year he'll come out and start beating heads, but I don't think he's a thumper. I think he's a runner. And why not use his talent as a runner?
I'll be curious to see what they do. I'm kind of proceeding on the assumption here that Joe Barry will not be the defensive coordinator in 2023. So maybe
presumption. I think it's a foregone conclusion, Pete.
maybe this decision will be made by the next defensive coordinator, Jim Leonard or Fazio or Foggio, or who knows. I'll be curious to see what they, if they do this next spring. And that's something, if they're going to move them, they probably won't tell us. We won't see till they actually start practicing in OTAs. Although the draft and maybe some personnel moves they make might be an indication, but I'll be curious to watch that. You know, the other guy was, we talked about was Devontae White. And, you know, you just said you didn't, I asked you how he played. You said you didn't specifically watch him super closely. He did get, I think it was 20 snaps, which is, you know, he'd been getting 5 or 6 every game. So that was a big jump for him. When I rewatched, after we talked, I rewatched the game, and you just said he didn't do anything that caught your eye, and he didn't. It was a really nondescript 20 snaps. He showed some speed and showed hustle on a play where Hurts scrambled up the middle and Wyatt caught him from behind, kind of. And it was 10-yard gain, so you know you don't want your defensive tackle making tackles 10 yards downfield. But it was it's a play that showed his ability. I'll be curious to see if they play him more in these last 5 games, and if he starts to show and flash some ability to make you think that, you know, next year maybe they'll have something with this guy.
He, you know, one of the things with him is he's kind of a wide body, and he's not just a big brute strong. I mean, the good Lord doesn't make many of those guys. I mean, you look at Ndamukong Suh last night. I mean, that guy, he's 30, well into his 30s, and you just see he is just a physical, strong, brute force human being. And they don't make a lot of guys like that. Unfortunately, you know, he's got a ways to go. He's going to have to spend some time in the weight room and get some upper body strength for sure. You know, if he's going to be a wide body guy, then he's got to be able to bend his knees a little bit better so he can stay low and not get pushed around. So, you know, there's some things in his game that are kind of, you know, cutesy. You know, his hands are okay. His first step isn't terrible. I remember BJ Raji, his rookie year, and what was so impressive about him, and it took him about half a season, was that first step of his was just so quick and so sudden. I mean, he'd be into that guy and that center still have his hand between his legs. I mean, that is impressive. And I look at like Wyatt, and that's where he's got to get to. He's got to get that want to get off the ball and get in the guys before they can get into him, because he's not an Ndamukong Suh that can just take a guy and bench press him and run him back to the quarterback. That ain't going to happen. If he wants to get on guys, it's got to be sudden. It's got to be right now. That step has got to come, and he's got to be angry with it. And, you know, he just looks passive and, you know, kind of Humpty Dumpty-ish, you know. You know, you want to see him get after it.
You know, if I would have, the one thing I'd forgotten this or didn't realize it when they picked him, he's 24 years old, and he turns 25 in March. That's not the greatest thing. You know, I was thinking he was a 21, 22 year old guy. So he doesn't have the super youth. Like, remember Kenny Clark coming out was 20, I think.
Right.
So that's one thing that, you know, makes me wonder. But, you know, these guys, you know, some guys, it takes a year for the light to go off. Sometimes the light never goes on. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But I wonder if they'll use him more down the stretch. The 20 snaps he played last night makes me think they're going to. I'm looking at the hourglass here, Eric, and the sands have run out. So
already? You didn't even have a good argument yet.
I know. Well, you know, we kind of did to start things out.
Yeah, I still think you're all wet with that. Rodgers has got to play.
Yeah, I got to say, I think you're completely all wet too. the quarterback position is just too important. They have to make the right decision on Love. They have to know what they have. If Rodgers weren't all banged up, it'd be a different story.
But what more do you need to see with Love?
To see if he can handle blitzes.
Well, he made two awesome throws last night that opened my eyes a little bit. One was pretty good, and that was not bad. But that first slant to Watson was great. The second that kind of crosshair to Watson was awesome. But the one that got me excited about it, the way he can play, was that pass up the sidelines that Aaron Jones dropped. Those were great plays, and he did it while moving around a little bit some. So they see him in practice. I think they know what they got, don't you?
Yeah, not when it comes to blitzes and when they can hit him. I think that changes things.
Well, that's what August is for.
It's well, even then they're not hitting him though. You know, well, the preseason games they are, but
yeah.
So, but I would want to see him in a handful of real games if I'm the Packers, because you know what. Especially seeing in person, when I rewatched the game, I didn't, you know, it looked different. Watching him in person, he looked like a different player, even than he did in the preseason. He looked more poised, more decisive. That throw to Jones was a really good throw. And based on, I watched LaFleur's press conference today, he made it sound like that, you know, that really wasn't on the radar on that play. And that's really not the throw that they're looking to do. But he just said, hey, it was just really good that he saw it and he threw a dart there. And that's a tough catch for a running back. So, yeah, I think things got a lot more interesting with Jordan Love. After preseason, I was thinking, I don't know, 10% chance this guy ends up being a good player. I think that number goes up a little bit after the way he played last night.
Well, you know what? With the sore ribs, you might get your wish and see him on Sunday. And that would be a pretty good matchup. Two couple backup quarterbacks, Bears and Packers. Man, they should switch that. They should flex that up to Sunday night. That's be a heck of a ball game. Who against who?
The network will love it. well, look, we better wrap this up. We don't want to eat up our listeners. We don't want to eat up all their time. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And look for our column tomorrow. Tuesday morning also, where we go into some more detail on some of this stuff. With that, I guess we'll say our goodbyes. Thanks everybody for joining us. For Eric, I'm Pete, and you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast.
You're good.